Shaykhin Ya Rabbi Shaykh Fayaz, Nightly Ramadan Reflections.
A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Ar-Rajim, Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Wabihi Nasta'in, Wassalatu Wassalamu Ala Sayyidina Wa Nabiyyina Muhammad, Wa Ala Ahl Baytih At-Tayyibin, At-Tahirin. In this blessed month of Ramadan, as we're desiring to spiritually progress in terms of building out our relationship with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, we often find ourselves in the midst of a great deal of hurdles. And amongst the greatest hurdles that hinders the human being from really allowing them to progress is due to the anger and rage that often overcome us. Within the Holy Quran and within the traditions of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam and his family, there is a strong emphasis in terms of restraining one's anger. And specifically when we're fasting, it becomes really, really easy for us to get angry at those around us, when in reality, on a normal day, when we're satiated and we're not so exhausted like we tend to be during this blessed month, we definitely wouldn't respond in such a way. And thus you find that anger is a natural human emotion. But it's important that we're able to channel our anger and we're able to channel our rage in a certain way that we utilize it as a tool towards standing up against victims of injustice. That we utilize it as a tool, for instance, to demonstrate our bravery and our courageous nature in the midst of all of the odds that we often face. But for so many people, their anger leads them to such a dark path in terms of their spirituality. And we see from different narrations that in reality, it's incredibly important to be working during these specific days during the holy month of Ramadan toward perfecting our character and our qualities during these days and nights. For instance, there's a tradition from Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam in which he states that anger begins in madness and ends in regret. Though when we get angry, we're able to justify it in every single possible way, but at the end of the day, we're always regretted, especially when it comes to the fact that we're utilizing really foul language or, God forbid, even physical abuse toward members of our family, toward members of our friends and colleagues, and so on and so forth. It's important that we're able to channel ourselves in a specific way, and that during the holy month of Ramadan, as we've mentioned now time and time again, it's not solely about abstaining from food and drink, it's about reaching the end goal, لَأَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in chapter 2 of the Holy Quran, that He has prescribed fasting for us so that we attain taqwa, so that we attain God consciousness, so that we attain mindfulness, so that we're feeling the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every phase and in every facet of our lives. And that fasting is actually supposed to be taking us to this destination. But if we see ourselves in the state of fasting getting more angry than we normally would, then we need to sit back and check ourselves and really think and ponder and meditate and reflect in terms of what things we need to do in order to really channel our anger in more appropriate ways. And we come and we see different traditions of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam that speak in regards toward being able to control our anger. One day a man, he came toward the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, Ya Rasulallah, awsini, O Messenger of God, give me some advice. To which the Holy Messenger, he responded, La taghzab, don't get angry. A second time he came and he said, Ya Rasulallah, awsini thaniyan, O Messenger of God, give me a second piece of advice. To which the Messenger responded, La taghzab, don't get angry. A third time he comes again and he said, Ya Rasulallah, awsini thalithan, give me a third piece of advice, O Messenger of God. To which the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he responds toward this man, La taghzab, don't get angry. Three times consistently, he tells him and he advises his companion to make sure that he doesn't get angry, because again, anger has the potential for us to really create so many veils between us and those around us. And if you take a look, you see that anger, in terms of its utilization as a vice, can lead us toward demonstrating our arrogance over others, can lead us toward demonstrating our pride over others, can lead us toward losing our patience very quickly can lead us toward being an individual who has the potential to lead to the destruction of civilization because of what detriment not only it does to ourselves, but also what it does to others. So this is incredibly important toward really thinking that out in terms of how am I going to be able to control my anger? And during this month of Ramadan, what are the things that I need to do and start to train myself in order that I leave this blessed month without having any of those negative qualities in my heart and in my soul? And we find in a really beautiful tradition, Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam, one of the great grandsons of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sixth Imam, he advises one of his companions in terms of three really important qualities and character traits in order to demonstrate what is known as hilm, or what is often translated as forbearance. And it's incredibly important toward understanding that some of the scholars of Islamic ethics, ilm al-akhlaq, they would take a look at anger as its opposite being hilm, or what is known as forbearance. And forbearance in reality is a higher level of patience. It's not just being patient in the midst, for instance, of trials and tribulations, but it's also the greatest quality that one can attain in terms of really holding back against snapping at somebody else. Or when someone has their anger reach such a level that it's about to boil over, you need to have the quality of forbearance to really push you through, even if sometimes your anger might be justified. But for many of us, we often allow for our anger to be channeled in a really negative way, and oftentimes it's just not justified in that way. In this particular tradition, Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam, he advises his companion in regards toward three levels or three advices when it comes toward forbearance. The first one is when he states that if someone, oh my companion, if someone were to say to you, if you dare say a word, I will give you 10 back. And to just put it in a little bit of a context, what happens is that oftentimes in that particular culture in the 6th century, when someone wanted to demonstrate how angry they were at someone else, they would tell them, if you dare say a word, I will respond with 10. Meaning, don't mess with me, don't even try to start a problem with me, just keep your mouth shut, in order to often perhaps give a threat. So the narration states that if someone were to say to you, if you dare say a word, I'll give you 10 back, then your reply, meaning the one who's forbearant, the one who illuminates this quality of hilm, should be, if you say 10 words, you will not hear one from me. In our language, it's the equivalent of if someone were to say, don't you dare raise your voice to me. And our response should be that, don't worry, I'm never going to raise my voice to you. It's about, again, living up toward a higher standard, because that's what it means to be a Muslim. That's what it means to be a mu'min. That's what it means to be someone who's illuminating the hearts of all of those around us. Imagine, for instance, that if we did demonstrate our anger at every single juncture, in front of our wives, in front of our husbands, how would our kids react? It would sort of work toward cultivating this really horrific cycle of people always just showing their cards and never really building on relationships, never really being in a state of forgiving. Patience would be the most undesired quality if we really continuously work toward cultivating this culture where we always wanted to have one up on everybody else. Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam, he responds in this particular tradition, or he advises in this particular tradition, that if someone were to say to you, if you dare say a word, I'll give you 10 back, you should respond, if you say 10 words, you will not hear one from me. The second piece of advice that he offers toward his companion, he states that, secondly, if someone insults you, then respond to them, if you are right in what you are saying and if you are telling the truth, then may Allah forgive me. And if you are wrong, then may Allah forgive you. Incredible. And in reality, this would put an end to every single debate and every single argument and every single discussion that we would ever have with anyone in terms of really anything that could potentially spark any sort of controversy or that could really trigger any sort of anger. It's really, really beautiful that if someone were to come and insult you, for instance, someone were to come and insult me and say that you were this and you were that, and if they speak really ill of me, then I say, my dear friend, if what you say about me is true, then may God forgive me. If you say that I'm a bad person, then may God forgive me. But if you are telling a lie and you are giving a false claim toward who I am and my character, then instead of making it a big deal, just make dua for that person. Then may Allah forgive you. And though that might be really, really difficult, at that moment, try it. And see how it will allow for you to just move through life without really worrying about what other people have to say, without worrying what other people have to think. And it will again really allow for our anger to be channeled in a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires from us. Thirdly and finally, Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam, he advises his companion in regards to how he can attain this quality of hilm or forbearance. He states, thirdly, when someone treats you harshly, give him good counsel and pray for him. When someone does not have the etiquette that we have, when someone is not on the same moral standard that we have, that we are on, we shouldn't look down upon them in a phase of arrogance or pride or so on and so forth. But rather what we should do is ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to elevate their station so that they're able to attain those same qualities that you think that you have. And at the same time, you should also humble yourself and really wonder whether I do have those good qualities. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the midst of asking for your brother, for your sister, that He also instills in your heart the ability to forgive and the ability to forget and the ability to really allow for us to control our anger and to be amongst those who are forbearant. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during these blessed days and nights of the holy month of Ramadan to really give us the ability and the potential to restrain ourselves. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq that after this blessed month of Ramadan, we're able to carry on that same quality at every single moment of our lives, be it with our family, be it with our friends, be it with our colleagues, in the hope and in the aspiration of illuminating the hearts of all of those around us. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala ahla bayta tayyibin at-tahirin.
Follow Sheikh Fayaz on Twitter @FayazJaffer and look out for him on Facebook.